From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
The Save the Children Fund is working to improve the lives of children. They are working on better education, healthcare, and economic opportunity so much. And most recently, in helping out refugees who are fleeing Afghanistan. With more on the group's efforts and what they are seeing and doing, let's bring in Jean-Marie Desmarais, Senior Director of U.S. Emergencies at Save the Children. She is on the phone in Washington, D.C. Jean-Marie, so nice to have you here with us. How are you?
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for having Save the Children on today to talk about the refugee crisis.
Well, we're grateful to have you.
You're doing well.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the last couple of weeks, the work you've been doing to help those fleeing Afghanistan.
Sure. Thank you. I am out at Dulles Airport. We've been here for more than a week, providing services and supports, particularly to the young children and the new mothers who are coming through Dulles Airport. As you've probably heard, there are thousands and thousands of people who are arriving here and at other airports, but in the U.S., but primarily here at Dulles. We are working inside the airport, providing safe places for women, private places for women to be able to nurse and also change diapers. Many of the children have been traveling for more than 30 hours, and you can imagine sitting in the same diapers that whole time. They have severe diaper rash, and so they really need support when they're getting off the flight.
Right, and from what I understand that, I mean, there are so many that are kids, about half of them. Is that correct?
From what we've been seeing, absolutely. And many of them are young children, so very, very vulnerable children. The families have taken an incredibly long flight that has been evacuated, as I'm sure people have seen on the news. It's about a 15-hour flight then to Dulles here in Virginia. Families then have to come into the airport. They're processed through Customs and Border Protection, which has been taking a number of hours. They then proceed upstairs where they're tested for COVID, and in that large lounge where all the families pass through, that's where we have our first mother and baby areas. For many families, when they get to that space, it's the first time they've been offered any food, water, relief in hours, many, many hours. So that's the first place we have programs. And then families are transferred by buses. Once they're proven COVID negative, they are then transferred to a transit shelter that has been set up in a large convention center right near the airport. And Save the Children is also there setting up, we have been operating, a very large play area for children, as well as doing activities at any point where there are bottlenecks or delays where parents have to wait, get additional details, or wait for the next phase of their journey. We are there providing support to the children.
We're talking with Jean-Marie Desmarais. She's Senior Director of U.S. Emergencies at Save the Children with us from Washington, D.C. You know, Jean-Marie, we just heard from President Biden, and he said that the United States has airlifted about 100,000 Afghans out. Give us an idea of how many families in total or individuals out of Afghanistan that you are working with.
Well, I don't know the exact number.
Okay.
We have heard reports that at least 14,000 people have come through Dulles alone during the time that we've been here over the last week. And the overwhelming majority of those people have come through either the transit lounge, where we're providing support to infants and toddlers and new mothers, or it's through the shelter at the Expo Center in Northern Virginia, where we're providing play activity. We're also providing at that site shoes, clothing. It's really been extraordinary. The thousands of families that are arriving, most of them are arriving without even a single bag.
Wow.
Many of the children are arriving without even shoes on their feet. It was, I believe, a desperate scramble for them to get on these flights, and they so desperately wanted to reach the United States to have some level of safety and security for their children. So many of the children have only known conflict. Their country has been at war mm-hmm. for their entire young lives. So for many of the children, and we're hearing this from the parents, many of the children, when they come into the safe play space that we've established,
right.
it's the first time that they've been able to laugh or do simple things like color or kick a little ball that
to
we
be
have,
a kid.
That sort of thing.
In, right.
in weeks, be a kid. That's exactly right.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
I want to get back to our guest. Still with us is Jeanne-Aimée Desmarais, Senior Director of U.S. Emergencies over at Save the Children. Still with us on the phone in D.C. And she's been talking about the efforts that they have been doing to help Afghan refugees once they get here in the United States. She's been operating out of the Dulles Airport. Jeanne-Aimée, one of the things that I find at situations like this, times like this, is that one needs to get beyond those big, broad headlines and understand that underneath all of those headlines are people, families, children, individual stories. What can you share with us about some of the people that you are helping, some of the personal stories? As you said, a lot of them, the kids in particular, half of these refugees have been kids so far. Most of them are coming not wearing shoes, without any bags. Help us put some faces on these individuals.
There was a father who was watching his three beautiful little girls do some coloring in the space. And he was a very tall, proud man, and of course wearing a COVID mask. But he turned to me and his eyes just welled up with tears. And he said, "I was a translator at the U.S. Embassy. I had a good life in Afghanistan. I had a car and a house, which are a big deal to have in Afghanistan. And he said, I have nothing now. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to start again. I have nothing." And I was like, I told him, "You have your beautiful girls and you are welcome here in the U.S. And that was just one moment. And then if I may share another one,
please.
A beautiful moment at the Philadelphia airport. Again, another family, they were about to board the bus to go out to Fort Dix. And one of the soldiers who was there, who's helping staff up the site, looked at the last man who was there with his family. It was the last person in line to get on the bus. And the soldier gave the man a big bear hug. And the man smiled and just hugged back. And the soldier said to the man, "Welcome to America. You're going to love it." And it was just this beautiful moment of smiles and welcome to people who have suffered incredibly on their journey to get here, and they've arrived here with hope for safety and security, but also hope for a better life now here in America for their families.
You know, I do think that when it comes to the Middle East, we tend to group all the countries together, all of the situations together, and there's obviously different situations, different countries, different relationships that the U.S. has with various regions within the Middle East. But it's also a reminder, and you're helping us be reminded of that it's not just soldiers and terrorists and war, but it's people who were prior to this living a quote-unquote normal life and a good life.
Absolutely. And then also a very troubled life because the country has been at war a long time, and conflict is deadly for women and girls and children especially. They're the innocent ones in these conflicts. And so for us as a country to now be receiving thousands of Afghan children who will be able to become contributing members here and be a part of the, you know, be a part of our country now is kind of what we're all about and what we were founded on years ago. But it's beautiful to see the reception that they are receiving both here at Dulles and also in Philadelphia at the airport and at all of the military bases where they are arriving or being sent in order for their visas to be processed. Save the Children is also working out at Fort Bliss, which is by El Paso, Texas. Mm-hmm. That's one of the largest receiving sites. They'll have about 10,000 of the refugees there while they're waiting for their visas to be processed before they can be safely released into the U.S. And we're there, again, operating programs for children to keep them safe, to help them start to learn English, to help them, again, be children come back to being what a normal experience is. I know schools across the U.S. are starting now, and children here have traditions as they start, and these children are starting to build their traditions in the U.S. in the days ahead.
Tell us what happens once they've settled. You've talked to us about helping them get settled. They obviously have to get processed, as you mentioned, through customs, border protection, get visas, obviously some basic supplies, and then transferred, as you said, to a transit shelter. What are the next steps for them? How are they then assimilated into U.S. society?
Well, they will, from the transit shelter, they're then sent to the military base. They'll be there for the next, they're predicting the next month or 6 weeks, sometimes a little bit longer. During that time, they're trying to establish programs on the bases that will help them start to begin to learn about life here in America and help them with that assimilation process. And then they will travel on. Many of them have family or have worked for employers in the who have a presence in the U.S. They'll be moving on to communities across the country and will start to contribute. Once they get their visas and their work permits, they'll be able to start to contribute in our communities to being a part of who we are as a country.
Well, and I do wonder for those who are listening, what can Americans in general do to help out these refugees?
Well, one of the first things that they can do, and I hope it's okay for me to say, is Save the Children has established a special fund. It's called Afghanistan Crisis Children's Fund. If you'd like to get involved in our effort, or you can go to savethechildren.org, or you can also support locally. Every community in America is going to be affected by this, and we'll be receiving the newly arriving Afghan families. So whether it's through your church organizations, your civic organizations, to be able to contribute and help support locally is a wonderful way to really support these families as they become accustomed to life in America and start to contribute in America.
Well, it's great to have gotten some time and hear about the work that you guys are doing. Thank you so much. I know you're busy, and we wish you good luck with the ongoing efforts. That's Jean-Aimée Desmarais. She's Senior Director of U.S. Emergencies at Save the Children, joining us from Washington, D.C., where she has been doing a lot of work with Afghan refugees.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.